Welcome back in 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. Brent Blaney Clay with you at 3HL1045 on Twitter, Facebook, 3HL, Instagram, 3HL as well. Broadcasting all this week live from the Elephant Walk Restaurant, Sandestin Golf and Beach Resort. So we cover the SEC spring meetings. Having a great time. Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas. Todd, is it really, really hot out there yet?
You know what? It hasn't gotten that warm out here. I mean, we've been in the low 90s, so by this, normally by this time of year, it's up in the triple digits already. I'm more than happy to try and take a little cooler reprieve as long as we can get it. Although, guys, I'm a little scared about you 3HL being on Instagram now. That's an account I may not want to follow.
It's just a photo gallery, man. We're very attractive people, Todd. You know that.
Well, what'd you see on there? What have you been linking?
I don't even know how Instagram works.
Yeah, he's never even seen it.
No, I haven't seen it either. But you see, Brian, you see how quickly Blaine and Clay jumped on board? They're concerned as well.
Yeah, you made us concerned.
I felt like I was
following my son there on Instagram.
Triple digits, like, for several months. Why do you live there again, Todd?
Live here because it's the only state in the country for now where sports gambling is legal. So until they decide to expand the horizons, I figure I'll be on the next plane out to Atlantic City, but I'll take Vegas in the interim.
Well, here's the thing, all right? 100 years from now, you'll be able to gamble on sports anywhere in the country, right? So why not just do it now?
I'm hoping it's sooner than 100 years because if it's 100
I
years
be
from now,
this is my lobby.
I want to be living.
I'll be 131 years old. I'm not sure I'll have a career in the bookmaking profession at that point.
Well, let me start with the NHL. Kings slipped past the Sharks in a Game 7 last night, and you know, we're not hockey guys necessarily, but Game 7s in NHL playoffs are absolutely the most dramatic sporting events out there.
There's no doubt about it. You look at how much energy and effort these guys put into every single series, and you saw both teams last night fighting tooth and nail for everything as they had to all series between San Jose and L.A. An awfully interesting series when you consider neither team was able to steal a game on the opponent's home ice, and L.A. has been absolutely lights out in the Staples Center. I mean, backbone by Jonathan Quick, who most likely will be Team USA's goalie in the 2014 Olympics in Sochi. You're looking at the Kings now a little over 3-1 to win the Stanley Cup. That puts them behind the Penguins, who are a slightly higher odds at 3-2. The Blackhawks and Red Wings obviously have to try and decide who will have the right to take on the Kings in the Western Conference Finals. But the way L.A. looks right now, don't be surprised if we have our first repeat Stanley Cup champion since the late 90s.
Yeah, Game 7 tonight. Go ahead and hit that real quick. Detroit-Chicago.
Chicago opened up pretty heavy favorite. They were about minus 230, meaning you have to put up $2.30 to make a dollar coming back. There's been a steady flow of money coming in on the Red Wings. I think a lot of people under the assumption that the Blackhawks are able to battle back down 3-1 in this series. It's a foregone conclusion on home ice that they'll get this game under their belt. But if Detroit can start out strong and kind of weather the initial flurry from the Blackhawks, really believe this will be the first team to two. So I think goals are at a premium, and I'll put my faith in Detroit with Jimmy Howard between the pipes over Corey Crawford for the Blackhawks.
Eastern Conference Finals begin Saturday, Boston-Pittsburgh. You mentioned the Penguins. What do you think about that series?
Penguins, a prohibitive favorite, almost 1-2 at this point. There's been a little money coming in on them. They kind of shook the doldrums against the Islanders by disposing of the Senators in 5 games. Boston, clearly the feel-good story, but not sure they have the talent everywhere on the roster to compete. But interesting to note, the 5 remaining teams, if you include Detroit and Chicago, are the last 5 Stanley Cup champions. And if the Blackhawks get through the Red Wings tonight, you'll have the last 4 Cup winners. So all these teams have experience on their side, and I think it'll make for a real interesting Eastern Conference Finals to see if the Bruins' defense can outlast the Penguins' dynamic offense.
If you have specific questions, you can hit Todd on Twitter, anytime, at Todd Furman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N, Clay.
Yeah, we got a 2-2 series in the Heat Pacers. What is, and I know Vegas has been big on the Heat throughout, what is actually the number right now for that series with 3 games to go, basically a best of 3 left?
Miami nearly a 1-5 favorite in this series still. So clearly that the assumption is that Miami will get through. A 7.5-point favorite for Game 5. The total sits at 185. A little surprised to see the total as low as it is, considering all 4 games so far have exceeded Vegas' expectations. But an interesting game yesterday. It looked like the officials did everything they possibly could to keep this game close, including fouling LeBron James out and some questionable calls late. I think Miami will get the lion's share of calls in their own building. The NBA clearly benefits by getting a couple extra games out of this series. And I think the Heat are finally going to put together a full 48 minutes, similar to what we saw in Game 3. Just don't know if Indiana can now win 2 out of the next 3 to win the series.
I'm curious whether we had this discussion a little bit earlier in the show. The Joey Crawford calls late. The clear fact that the NBA finals do not start until June 6th, which I don't even know what day of the week it is next week, but it's a while. Whether or not you believe, just personally, that there's anything to the conspiracy theories that surround NBA officiating. Do you think there's anything to it, or do you think it's a mountain being made out of a molehill?
I think I'm a huge conspiracy theorist when as it pertains to the NBA, not only individual playoff games, but also the draft lottery in and of itself, the fact that it happens behind closed doors and they don't want to publicize it. If the NBA wanted to alleviate any concerns about potential conspiracy as it pertained to the NBA playoffs, they wouldn't go game by game announcing the officiating crew and allowing Joey Crawford to be involved. They'd make all that public well in advance, and they just try and let things play out the way they need to. The fact that these rumors swirl all over Twitter, and Joey Crawford was trending worldwide last night, says that we aren't the only ones to see conspiracy theorists. And when the casual fan starts to wonder who's officiating each and every game, it really makes you wonder what the league's trying to accomplish.
Todd Furman with us on 3HL, at Todd Furman on Twitter.
Well, Todd, who has the best odds, I guess, against the Spurs, the Pacers, or the Heat? I know you have the Heat winning this, but... What are the odds for the Pacers and the Heat versus Spurs?
One of the sportsbooks out here, William Hill, out here in Las Vegas and throughout Nevada, actually put out their numbers for what they project to be the actual number series prices. They make the Miami Heat a -270 favorite against the Spurs, and if the Spurs took on the Pacers, they make the Spurs a -250 favorite. So the Pacers clearly not getting a ton of respect. And I think a lot of people were surprised to see Miami such a heavy favorite. Given the 2-3-2 format, it allows for some weird things to happen if the Spurs potentially were able to steal one of the first two games in Miami and then have a chance to close them out in their own building. But I think you're looking at a game one opening number for Miami against San Antonio of 5.5 with a total probably in that 184 to 186 range.
All right, we're watching the Golf Channel here. I think they just said Tiger Woods is going to play in the Memorial. I think he's won it 5 times. What are the odds that he'll win it 6 times?
Tiger Woods is a hugely prohibitive favorite for this weekend's Memorial. He's listed at 9-4, and that's Tiger Woods back when Tiger was in his prime. Considering that I don't think he's hit a golf ball since he won his last tournament, if you follow some of his escapades through the media, it'll be real interesting to see his focus, but he definitely has taken his game to another level. Majors notwithstanding, he's become a force again in every tournament he plays, and you're seeing that reflected in the way the books need to treat Tiger compared to the rest of the golf fields.
Well, we were just discussing it right before you came on about UT and how many wins they can get. Where do you have UT's football team finishing up? We were saying that hopefully they can finish 6-6 and get to a bowl game on a positive note, finish 7-6. Where does Vegas see those guys?
Still doing a little bit of work on our college football win totals. Actually, the biggest landmark event of the summer actually takes place next Friday at the Golden Nugget. They'll release 260 college football game of the year numbers, which will give a little more accurate representation of how they have those teams power rated. My preliminary numbers, though, I have Tennessee at 6, shaded to the under. I think getting to a bowl game this year would definitely be considered a successful season. Haven't gone through each and every week of their schedule, but no, 6 was my preliminary number as well.
Well, we cannot forget, before you go, Vanderbilt, because we definitely had James Franklin on. He'd be upset if we didn't ask about those guys.
I think Vanderbilt falls into that similar vein as Tennessee. I think their goal will be to get back to a bowl game. The real interesting game for Vanderbilt is right out of the gate, as it's a number against Ole Miss. It's fluctuated anywhere from 6.5 where it opened at some of the offshores. I've seen it as low as 2.5, and it seems to be settling in that 4 to 4.5 range. If Vanderbilt can start the season 1-0, I think that's definitely a confidence builder for a team that's replacing a lot of key contributors from last year's team.
Todd, great stuff, man. Appreciate you being flexible.
Always a pleasure, guys. Keep that sunscreen on and enjoy the rest of your time down in Destin.
Got the zinc oxide on my nose. I'm looking good, man. Thank you. Todd Furman on Twitter, at Todd Furman.